Let's do this again. Well, welcome and Merry Christmas. We are excited that you are all here this morning. I did it again. It's this evening, isn't it? It's dark outside. Christmas Eve. Boy, it's just been a crazy time of year, hasn't it? I am Ron Snyder. I'm the lead pastor here at the People of the Way. If you don't know me, we're glad you're here. We're excited that you've come to celebrate the birth of our Savior with us today. You know, Christmas has always been associated with gifts, right? As far as I can remember, I'm sure for you as well, that Christmas has always been associated with gifts. I remember growing up with the anticipation of Christmas morning. When I was a kid, you know, Star Wars was the thing, and it's the thing again. Talk about history repeating itself. But I couldn't wait to get downstairs and go through the stack of presents and open my Star Wars figurines or the Matchbox cars. And as I got older, it was, you know, stereo equipment. And one year, I got my own 13-inch color TV. Cutting-edge technology, let me tell you. It was awesome. And I got to put it in my room. That was amazing. I know, nobody's impressed. But it was awesome for us. There was this one year, though, I was about 17 years old. And there was this reality that set in that I was no longer going to get the fun gifts that the kids got. I was, like, growing up. And all the gifts that I looked forward to opening on Christmas morning were not going to be there. Ever since that Christmas, I always longed for those Christmases back. Since we're talking about gifts, let's look at a couple meanings of the word gift in the Greek language. The New Testament, the Greek is the New Testament, is the language the New Testament is translated from. The first translation I'd like to share with you is doma, which actually means gift. You can find it in Matthew 7:11. It's actually translated present or gift, and Jesus was talking there about bringing a present or gift to your children or someone you loved. But another word for gift in Greek is called doron, just like our character today, doron. And it means a gift offered as an expression of honor, sacrifice, or a gift given to God. Now, we're going to consider this later in relationship to our fourth wise man. But tonight, I want you to indulge with me in a little exercise. When you came in, you found a tag on your seat. Okay, so I'd like you to take that tag and I'd like you to write on it what the best gift you could get this Christmas would be. Just go ahead and write whatever the best gift you could get. So anybody that's 7 years and younger, I want you guys to come up here with me for a minute, okay? You guys don't have to write on it. Just all the adults. So anybody that's 7 years and younger, like to come up front, I got something for you. So come on up. Yeah. That's exciting. All right. See, Jesus always had time for the kids, so this is great, isn't it? Are you guys excited about Christmas? Yeah? You are? You are? Does anybody else want to come up? You want to come up? Come on up. Who's the youngest? You guys want to come up? You want to come up? No? Okay, you don't have to come up. I've got something for you. All right. All right. Who's the youngest? How old are you?
Four.
You're four. And how old are you? Three. How are you? Five.
Seven.
All right. So you're the youngest. All right. So the youngest gets to go first. Now, I've got a basket here. Would you like to see what's in the basket? All right. All right. So you're the youngest, right? So you can pick out anything in here. One thing for you. What would you like in the basket? You can pick
something. Nothing.
Bella,
you get to pick something.
You want something in the basket?
The
caterpillar. Oh, yeah, the caterpillar. Well, okay. All right, you're next. You're the next oldest. Oh, Sour Patch Kids. They're good. Don't eat all them tonight, though. Okay. You're next. What do you think? Oh, you want a puzzle? Yes? You sure?
I just got a Star Wars puzzle.
Or there's candy in here. There's a car. Oh, and he saw the car. There's the car. Yeah. All right. What do you want? What's in here that you want? Do you want to be a cheerleader? No? How about a Rubik's Cube? No? Oh. She doesn't like Mike. How about some candy? Yeah? No? You don't want any candy? Do you want a caterpillar too?
Sure.
All right. There you go. All right. Now, would you like something? What would he like? I bet you he. All right. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Would you like some candy? No? Here, I'll just... Here. Oh, there you go. All right. Does anybody else want to be a cheerleader? Oops. Isaiah? No? Okay. All right. Well, that was fun. All right. So when we're looking for a gift, most often we really want it to be special, don't we? So we set out on this mission to find the perfect gift because we want to bring joy to that person. See, the perfect gift is meant to show how much we care about a person, right? For some, gifts even communicate love. Now, have you ever considered all the decisions that go into attaining the perfect gift? You know, because like a gift starts with a plan, right? The plan might go something like this. Like, well, first we got to know who the gift's for. Then we got to know what do they need or what do they want? When will they get to use it? What would they use it for if we get this thing? Will they like it? Better yet, will they love it? That's the goal, right? To get them to love it. Will this gift communicate the love and care I have for this person? How much are we going to spend? That's a critical component, right? How much are we going to spend on the gift? How long do I have to get the gift? For some of you, that question is very pertinent tonight. And where can I get it? What stores are still open at the witching hour, right? Right before Christmas. So there's a lot that goes into, and there's probably more, there's a lot that goes into finding the perfect gift. But the better you know the person, the easier it is to get the perfect gift for them, isn't it? Some of the best gifts are surprise gifts. Earlier this week, I was up early and I let the dog out and I opened the door and there was a present on my step. And I went, it's not the 25th. Wow, there's Santa's been here. It was awesome. Somebody had dropped off a present and I was so excited. I was like, my face lit up and I was just excited because there was a present. And it was actually for me. So that was even better. I did share it with the family. It was dear baloney, if you must know. But it was exciting because I wasn't expecting it. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. All right. It was deer bologna and chocolate, but I wasn't supposed to say that because I ate the chocolate. I'm in trouble now. All right. But Jesus was a surprise gift. Even though there was tons of prophecies leading up to him being here, he was a surprise gift when he arrived. Many were amazed. Look at what it says in Luke 2:17-18. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him because they told him about this child. And all who had heard amazed at what the shepherds had said to him. See, the shepherds were out in the field. The angels came and proclaimed Jesus' birth to him. And they're like, hey, let's run off to the stable and see Jesus in its manger. Let's see this Messiah, this Savior, the one who's going to bring us good news and great joy. And they go and they see him. And they're like, it's true. What the angel said is true. We're going to tell everybody. Now, The key to this, though, is when they went and told people, not everybody listened. It says only those who heard it were amazed. We really need to have our ears tuned in to hear what God has to say to us. If we don't, we could miss what he's trying to say. Now, our life is a gift from God. And one aspect of this gift is what we do with it. Our legacy. What is a legacy? A legacy is what we leave behind that is carried into future generations. A legacy is how your influence affects future generations to live a certain way. So let me ask you this question. If you left the world today, what would your legacy be? Jesus' legacy is over 2,000 years old, and it's still influencing us today. We're sitting here tonight because of his legacy. I'd like to take a few minutes and look at five people in the Bible who, through surrendering their lives, have left a lasting legacy as well. Let's first look at Noah. It's probably safe to say that everybody in the room here tonight knows who Noah is, but just in case you don't, he's the guy that saved civilization by building an ark to preserve mankind. God was frustrated with creation. They had all become wicked, all but one, Noah. And in Genesis 6:8, God tells us this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In his plan, God planned to destroy the earth through a great flood. But Noah received a gift. Because he was favored in God's eyes, he received a gift because of his faithfulness. He provided him instructions on how to build the ark, specific instructions, and told him to store up the provisions needed to survive the flood. But, you know, sometimes we get this idea of the ark and we just go, yeah, he built an ark. Because we can go to 84 Lumber or Home Depot and we can buy some lumber, right? Nah, that's not how it went. Noah had to cut down each tree. He had to take the bark off of it. He had to hone it down. It would have taken days or weeks or possibly months just to get one board ready to be put on the side of the ark. It's estimated that it took over 100 years to build this ark. That's dedication. That's drive. How many of us have trouble staying focused just day to day? And he was doing it for 100 years. And it hadn't rained. You got to understand, not only was this challenging that he had to do all this hard work, but can you imagine building an ark in a time when it never rained? That would have been crazy. People would have thought he was nuts. During that time, there was a mist in the air. And the mist was what watered the ground. So it never rained. There was never rain like we had earlier today that fell from the sky. So here's Noah building this big boat for this great flood. And nobody had ever seen it. You can imagine that he faced some mocking from the people in his time. But he did what he did because he wanted to please God. And as we'll continue to see, no gift from God comes without cost. So what was his reward? Noah's legacy is so great that it's recorded at least 5 times by other authors in the New Testament. That's significant that God would decide to record it 5 more times, at least, in the New Testament. And his legacy lives on today because his story is still being told, isn't it? It encourages us to be faithful to God because he is faithful to those who are faithful to him. Let's take a glance at Abraham. Abraham's well known because of God's favor towards him. His story is one that makes us wonder, how would we handle a similar situation? Now, if you know the story of Abraham, you know what I'm talking about. But Abraham was old. He was 100 years old without children. And he was told by God that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars. He's 100 years old. He hasn't any children. And God told him that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars. But for 10 years, after God told him this, Abraham never had any children. After some bad decisions, Abraham finally received the blessing of a son by Sarah when he was 100 years old. In Genesis 21:5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Life was good, and Abraham was content. He had received the promise that God had told him about. But then God came to Abraham, and he told him, I need you to do something for me, Abraham. It's a little test. He didn't tell him that, but it's a little test for Abraham. He said, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son, Isaac, as an offering. Can you imagine? You're 100 years old. You hadn't had your child. Now you had your child. And then God comes to you and says, I want you to give this. This is an offering to me. Abraham, being faithful, didn't blink an eye. He got all the provisions. And he set off. He was all prepared to do what God had asked him to do, to place his son on an altar and to sacrifice him to the Lord. And just as he was about to do it, just at that moment, God spoke to him from heaven and said, no, no, don't do it. Stop. Abraham, stop. I'm going to provide a ram instead. I just want to make sure that you were devoted to me. In fact, here's what he said. In Genesis 22, 16 and 17, this is God speaking. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Abraham's faithfulness to God is his legacy. In fact, today when we hear about Abraham, he's often referred to as the father of faith. Let's move on. Let's take a quick look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was going about her life as a young Jewish girl, minding her own business, but faithful to God. In fact, her life was so pleasing to God that when the angel came and told her about what was going to happen, in his conversation with her, he said 2 times, you are favored with God. Look at Luke 1:28 and Luke 1:30. Both times, he's saying, hey, you have found favor with God. You are highly favored, Mary. Mary, after hearing what the angel had to say, reaffirmed her devotion to God in her reply to the angel in Luke 1:38. She says these words, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So after this, Mary goes and visits her cousin because the angel had told her that her cousin was with baby. John the Baptist was going to be born through Elizabeth. So she goes to go see Elizabeth and finds out that what the angel had told her, it was true, that she was truly pregnant and she couldn't get pregnant. And Mary was full of joy because she found out this news. In fact, she was so full of joy that she sang this song. If you look a little bit further on in Luke 1, around 43, 44, she sings this song about how her life now glorifies God and her spirit rejoices. She knew her legacy was going to be acknowledged by all generations. Look at verse 48. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary knew it. Interestingly enough, in the same song, she also acknowledges God's hand in the legacy of Abraham and all of Israel. Look at Luke 1, 54 through 55. Mary's legacy to this day remains, doesn't it? She was a humble servant girl, remembered as the one through whom which God would reveal his plan for salvation to the world. So we're going to look at another Mary, but this time it's a little bit different because God didn't come to her. She went to him. Mary, the mother, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and the brother and her brother Lazarus, is at a dinner with Jesus at Simon's house. She walks up to Jesus and she anoints his head with oil. Look at Mark 3 through 5. This perfume that she anoints his head with oil has been so expensive that it could have been sold for a year's wages. And for some, she had wasted it on anointing Jesus. In fact, she was corrected by those present. But because she was willing to give Jesus this gift, because she was willing to offer something to him, listen to what he says about her in Mark 14:9. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Mary's legacy is forever tied to the gospel. And once again, what Jesus said has come true here tonight. Because Mary's remembered because of what she did for Jesus. Peter's our final example. Peter's legacy is rooted in the time he spent with Jesus. If you know anything about Peter, he had a quick response to everything. His mouth had no filter, and he would just speak freely. It often got him in trouble. In this instance, though, that was not the case. Peter's response had a life-changing outcome. Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Take a look at Matthew 16, 15 through 18. "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Wow. Peter's response results in Jesus stating that Peter is blessed. But not just blessed. He doesn't just stop there. He says, "Listen, I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter. It's going to start with you." And you're going, "Okay, yeah, what's that mean?" Well, let's fast forward. I'm not going to put these verses on the screen because there's way too many of them. So you guys have to check us out if you have your Bibles with you. It's in Acts 2, 14 through 42. Peter's found, in this instance, he's standing up and he's speaking to a crowd. We don't know how many people are in this crowd, but it's a big crowd. And he stands up and he speaks to these people. And after hearing his words, probably less words than I've already said here today, 3,000 people accepted his message. They accepted the good news. They accepted Christ. In fact, they accepted, and they didn't just accept, they're like, "I'm all in, I want to be baptized." And they were baptized. Church planners have been trying to figure out what he has set out for years. Because that's pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but I love to plan a church and in my first sermon have 3,000 people come to Christ. That would be amazing. And glory to God for it. But he built his rock. He built his church on the rock, Peter. Sounds like a pretty good following, right? Peter had a pretty good following and quite a legacy. So let's summarize all these people. The five people, right? We just went through five people. And they all have one thing in common. They all received God's favor. But it came at a cost, didn't it? Even Peter suffered for his faith. He suffered. God actually had to test him too. And he restored him. But he used him. A gift like a legacy is not free. Remember that story I gave you in the beginning about, you know, I wanted a Christmas where I had the feeling of joy again, where I could have those presents back and I was excited. What happened? It happened when I surrendered my life to Christ. I had to give up my life before I could find that joy that I once had. It wasn't in the gifts that I was getting, but it was in the gift of Christ. Spider. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. It wasn't a Merry Christmas for that spider. It was once said by a preacher, we might have some gifts under the tree, but how many of us would leave those gifts unopened? Just sitting there. How many of you would leave a gift with your name on it, sitting on a tree, just waiting for it to be opened? How long would you leave it there? How long before your curiosity would get the best of you and you just have to open it? I'm guessing that all of you have a present under the tree tonight or tomorrow morning. And you're not going to wait too long to open it. I'm thinking you're going to open it tomorrow. There's a present that Jesus has for you under the tree. It's the gift of salvation. It's got your name written on it. And if you've never opened that gift, today is the best day to open that gift. What a way to celebrate Christmas and Jesus' gift to us than to open the gift of salvation. Because it opens up our life. Jesus came not just to let us go through the motions. He came that we would have life and life to the fullest. You know, you wrote on your tag, you wrote what the best gift you could receive. Well, if you just take that on the blank side and you flip it up, it looks like the letter U, doesn't it? The best gift you could get this Christmas is a new you. A new you. A new you in Jesus. You are the gift that he wants you to open this Christmas. Remember Doron standing there at the end of the play, how he just kind of went back to being a wise man? He just kind of went back to being a wise man. Gift he could have given Jesus. He did the job he was given to do. God had a plan in mind for each of us. We're created with a purpose to give a gift to bring to the world because we are the messengers of his message. When we engage life knowing it's a gift and that we are the gift, our purpose is then revealed. You find your purpose. Just as it was for Noah, Abraham, Mary and Peter. They had to give up their life to find their life. As you listen to this poem, consider where you might be. Are you the person with the present under the tree? The gift of salvation waiting patiently for thee. A gift of new life with your security found. You now know you are heaven bound. Others receive the gift too, but put it away. It's still like new. The world has its pleasures, and they have been enough. Inside the package, though, is amazing stuff. A piece like no other and so much more. A whole new world with lots to explore. Was it you who took the gift and opened it quick? Applied it to your life? It made you tick? The gift caused changes from the inside out. Love overflows, leaving no one around you in doubt. Peace without limits and grace that mends. The love found in Jesus, it never ends. This life we have is designed to be lived. With God's purpose, there is lots to give. Act quick, don't wait another day. Tomorrow is never promised, so find your way. God, we thank you that you gave us a gift, the perfect gift. And that through that gift, we find life. We find the meaning of life. So I pray today that if there's anybody here who hasn't accepted you as their Lord and Savior, who's believed in you for salvation, that you would give them the courage to say, I'm in, I'm all in, I believe in you. And let this be an amazing Christmas where they open the gift of salvation. Don't let it remain under the tree. May the joy that you shared with the shepherds expound in their life. And for those of us who have already accepted that gift, help us to remember that it doesn't get old, that it's always there, and that it can change and transform us. We thank you for an opportunity to celebrate you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've come to a time in our service where we get to give back to God.